And the text that I have is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, the famous verses, verse 28 to verse 31. So let us turn to Isaiah chapter, chapter 40, verse 28 to verse 31, please. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, we thank you for these precious words. And we believe, Father, Lord, that you're going to speak to many of us, Lord, in this congregation. Perhaps through many years of labor and toil and perhaps discouragement, many have become weary and tired. So I ask that you take this word, Holy Spirit, come and inspire this word, anoint this word, and I speak this word with clarity, simplicity, and with your authority and power. I pray for the hearer of your word that they may receive your word and that it will energize them. So in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that these words will fall on good grounds and that you are due for good fruits, and it shall not return to you void but accomplish your purpose and your will. So I pray, Father, that you will just cause us, Lord, to concentrate and to receive, Lord, this word with gladness, and that it will produce, Lord, the effect that it's meant to. So we commit this morning sermon to you. We ask, Lord, that Jesus be glorified in this sermon, and that this word, Lord, will be brought alive to your people. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we all pray, and God's people say, Amen. All right, today is the last Sunday of 2014, and in 4 days' time, we are going to a new year, 2015. Now, as we transit from one year to another, people normally take time to reflect on what they have done well, what they have done not so well, and what they have done right, what they have done wrong, and in what areas they need to change, to improve, and how they can do better for the new year 2015. This is a good thing, and so the question we want to ask ourselves is, what is in store for year 2015? Now, frankly speaking, we all don't know. But what we know is that life is a long journey, and it's not about only a single year, be it 2014 or 2015. And that in all the years ahead of us, we need the strength and we need the stamina, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, for the years ahead of us. And this is the topic of my sermon, and renewing the strength, our strength in the Lord to face the years ahead, and in particular to face the year 2015. Now, in the physical area, our body is already placing a high demand on us. And if you're of average height and of average weight, maybe you're not aware that in the 24-hour period, your heart will beat 104,000 times, and that you will breathe 23,000 times, you will inhale 438 cubic feet of air. And if you're a man, you will speak about 4,000 words or 4,800 words. And if you're a man, if you are a man, you will speak 4,800 words. And if you are a woman, you will speak close to 8,000 words. All right. So, women are stronger than men in terms of words. All right. And then you will move about 750 muscles, and you will exercise about 7 million brain cells in a day. So in terms of the bodily demand and the functions, physical function, if you multiply that by 365 days a year, you will get a very big number. And we are drained physically to a good extent. But there is a weariness that that is much more draining than physical fatigue. And it's a kind of weariness that you feel when you just don't know whether you can go on for another month, let alone another year. You may feel totally overwhelmed emotionally or spiritually because the issues and the stress that is related to work, to service, to relationship, jobs, career, family, studies, marriage, so on and so forth. So some of you may feel very tired physically, some may feel drained emotionally, some may feel discouraged spiritually after many years of toil and labor. So you may ask yourself, how and where do I go about to get the strength to go through another year ahead of me and to overcome some of these outstanding issues that are confronting me? Now take heart, whatever life may place a burden, a demand on you, the word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40, the passage that we just read, he says that, have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God? He says, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And he says that he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And even the youth, he says, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who trust, or those who wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And therefore, let no strong man glory in his strength. And let no wise man glory in his wisdom. And let men glory in the Lord. God's word says that if you're weak, he can give you the power. And you have no might, he can increase your strength. The stamina and the strength that God gives you is not a natural strength or stamina like that of a youth, but an extraordinary strength and longevity. It says that even the natural strength and the stamina of a young man, of a youth, it shall faint and become weary. But the strength and the stamina that God gives you is such that you can run and not be weary, and that you can walk along marathon and you shall not faint. So how do we renew our strength in the Lord? That is a question that you would ask. Now the Bible likened us Christians to an eagle, and we need to look at some of the characteristics of an eagle to learn how to renew our strength in the Lord. So, next click please for the PowerPoint slide. Thank you. So the first thing is, you must know your identity. Brothers and sisters, you are called to be an eager Christian. You are created and called to be an eager Christian, not a chicken Christian. And let me give you a short story to highlight the point. Now, an eaglet once fell from the nest, and then a farmer accidentally discovered that eaglet and then brought this eaglet to this particular barnyard. And then this eagle grew up together, was raised together with the chicken. Now, because the eagle grew along with the chicken, he thought he was a chicken. And he eat like a chicken, he dressed like a chicken, he thinks like a chicken, and he behaves and he acts like a chicken. And one day, the farmer's friend came along to the farm to visit the farmer. And when he saw one of the eaglet among the chicken, he straight away recognized that this is not a chicken, but this is an eaglet among the chicken. So he said to the eaglet, he says that you are eager, you are supposed to fly, you are meant for the heavenly. He says, why, what are you doing here with the chicken? So he picked up the eaglet and then he just threw it in the air, hoping that the eaglet will fly. The eaglet flapped his wings, you know, for a short moment, reluctantly, but he fell to the ground and then he went back with the chicken. And so the next time the friend visited him, there was a few weeks later, and then he saw the same eaglet with the chicken again. And then he now took the eaglet to a higher place, to the top of the barnyard. And again he did the same thing and threw the eaglet into the air, hoping that the eaglet would fly. But then the eaglet again flapped his wings and then hesitantly, and then later on he landed and he fell to the floor and he went back to the chicken again. So he didn't fly. Now the farmer's friend was sad. So next time he came and he visited the farm the third time, and he saw the eaglet still with the chicken, and he felt really, really disappointed. So this time he took the eaglet to a much higher place. He took this eaglet to a hill, on top of a hill, and he said that with that height, surely he must learn how to fly. So he threw that eaglet into the air. Now, because of the higher ground, this time the eaglet was very frightened. And he thought that he would crash and he would die because of the height. So he flaps his wings, you know, with eagerness, with all his might, out of desperation. And suddenly, the eaglet discovered that he can fly. And he soared up into the skies, and he became airborne. And so, brothers and sisters, finally, this eaglet discovered his true identity, that he is an eagle and not a chicken. And therefore, brothers and sisters, you're not called to be the little chicken in the barnyard. You're called to fly like an eagle in the heavenlies. And the first, there are a few things that you need to know about eagles. First, eagles can fly and they are heavenly-minded birds, whereas chickens are earthbound birds. And then there's a big difference between an eagle and a chicken. And when the storm comes, the chicken will be scared and they all flee and they all run away. We call them the chicken out. That is how we get the term chicken out. Then second thing is, by contrast, now, as I said, the eagles are different. They dare to confront the storms. They are not afraid of the storms. And then third thing is, eaglets or eagles do not flap their wings strenuously to fly. They harness the eternal draft of the storm to soar into the heavenly. This makes them less susceptible to weariness. And while the storm rages below, they are soaring above the storms. And they harness the energy of the storm to carry them high into the heavenlies. The eagles do not run away from the storm. It simply uses the storm to carry or to lift them up higher in the sky. The point is that you are made to be an eager Christian, not afraid to confront the problems ahead of you. And by the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can learn to overcome the storms of life. You are made to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. And therefore, the first thing that you need to know is to need to renew your mindset. You are made to become an eagle Christian and not a chicken Christian. And trials, deep tribulation, stress, pressure is part of life that train you to grow from an eaglet, young eagle, an eaglet to a fully matured eagle. So do not flee or run away from them. Allow God to help you to use these things to grow you to be strong in the Lord. And you want to be an eagle, you also need to hang out with those eager-minded Christians. And therefore, you need to choose your companions very carefully. The day that you are born again, brothers and sisters, as Christians, God has implanted and imparted into you the DNA of an eager Christian. Something is happening inside you, and you must allow God to nurture you to become a fully matured eager Christian. And therefore, you need to know your true identity in Christ Jesus. And when you mingle too often and too much with the chicken-minded Christian, you may begin to think and act like the chicken. Your place is not with the chicken. You are made for the heavenlies. That is point number one. Point number two is this. You need to live on healthy food for the body, soul, and spirit. Now, for the eagles to fly, they must be very strong. And therefore, the eagle strength is known by its diet. And eagles feed on freshly killed prey, and they don't eat anything that is dead. This is the thing that you can learn from the eagles. And therefore, eagles are very selective in what they consume. In eating his prey, eagles do not consume everything. They will leave out the bones and the hairs. Why? The reason is very simple. The consumption of these items will accumulate some substance in their claws and impairing their ability to fly and hunt for a prey. And eagles will not eat any food that will impede or hinder their effectiveness to fly or to hunt. So can you see a parallel here? To be an eager Christian, we must check what goes into our being. And therefore, you need to consider, A, the food intake for our physical body. We need to have a balanced and a healthy intake of food. Besides the spiritual, we also need to take care of the physical. And this is because God has designed certain laws in the way that our body functions. Our body needs a balanced and a healthy diet to maintain good health and strength. Now, if we ignore this law at our peril, the physical and the spiritual actually can affect one another. And let me illustrate with an example. Now we all read in 1 Kings chapter 19, the story of Elijah. And how Elijah, he confronted King Ahab and all the false prophets of Baal. And after that particular confrontation, you know, King Ahab's wife, Queen Jezebel, did a counterattack on Elijah. In fact, she was a witch, and she was a very high-ranking witch. And therefore, we believe, even though it's not clearly written in the Bible, he actually launched a demonic attack on Prophet Elijah. And on top of that, he actually ordered the army of Israel to hunt Elijah down, to capture him dead or alive. Now, so Elijah ran for his life. And as a result, Elijah was physically, emotionally, and spiritually drained. And then he wanted to commit suicide. And it was a very vicious, demonic attack. And the way that God restored him must not be overlooked. The first thing that God did was he instructed the angels to go and visit to prepare the food and drink for Elijah. And then he says that the angel instructed Elijah. He says that arise, eat and drink. And then after that he says go and sleep. And then he says arise, wake up, go and eat and drink again. And then go and sleep. This is repeated several times over a number of days. So this shows that we must not ignore our physical well-being. And now getting adequate sleep, rest. Now having a balanced and a healthy diet, eating and also exercising on a regular basis are good measures that we must take to ensure that we do not fall into physical fatigue. Our physical well-being can affect on our spiritual well-being as well, and vice versa. Now, God has made you a steward of your physical body. And therefore, you have a responsibility to take care of your physical body. And then the next area is not only about the food for our physical body. And the item B is food intake for your soul. Now, you need to be very selective in the way that you feed your soul. Now, the books that you read, the movies that you watch, the music that you listen to, and all these things will affect you emotionally, you know, mentally, and also spiritually. Now, don't feed on things like pornography or dirty scenes in the movies and the television, or listen to some very unwholesome music. Now, many of these hard rock and worldly music, they are filthy in content. They are demonically inspired. The intake of this junk reading material, movie or music, will actually affect you emotionally and subsequently in the spiritual aspect as well. When you engage in such things, you are actually partaking or you're eating dead stuff. And you need to make a decision, you know, not to partake any of this junk stuff. And then what about in the area of the spirit? You need to consider the food intake for your spirit. Just as food and drink, you know, are essential for your physical body, God's words and prayer in your life is food and drink to your spirit man. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, he says that man, it is clearly written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then in John, Gospel of John chapter 6 verse 63, he says that, you know, the word that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. In other words, God's word is life-giving and is energizing. Now, even at this moment, as I preach the word of God, when we reach the scripture to you, you know, this morning session, I am imparting God's life and God's spirit into your being. Therefore, you find that your faith is lifted up. You are being energized. You are being motivated. There's this dosage of life that is infused into your being. So if you want to have stamina and strength to confront and overcome the challenges in your life, you need to maintain the physical and emotional and spiritual well-being. Now, what enters in determines your strength. Now, you are what you partake. You are what you eat. And there are three gates that from which we can take things into our inner being. And one is the eye gate. The other is the ear gate. And the third one is the mouth gate. You know, the things that you take, the food that you take. So be careful what you take in through your these three gates, the ear, your eye, and your mouth. You are the keeper of these gates, and you need to take care of your inner being, your inner spring, your inner spiritual petrol tank. And we need to develop a healthy and a regular, a healthy self-feeding program to feed our body, our soul, and our spirit. Now, every Sunday when you come to the church, I prepare spiritual food for you, nourishing food for you, to feed you and to nourish you, so that your spiritual man can be strong. But we can only do so, you know, in such a context once in a week. And it is not enough because there are 7 days in a week. And therefore, you need to feed yourself, your soul and your spirit for the rest of the week, from Monday to Saturday, in your own personal devotion time. And there are some key things that you can only do for yourself, because no one else can do it for you. And therefore, it is important for you to do it on a consistent basis, to equip yourself to face your spiritual enemy. And every one of us who has a spiritual enemy, once you become a Christian, you have a spiritual enemy, and his name is the devil. So when you have devotion in prayer and in the word, not only you are energized spiritually, but you are also armed with Christ. Now the full armor of God is written in Ephesians chapter 6. We have 7 pieces of armor. Now we have the belt of truth, you have the shield of faith, you have the breastplate of righteousness, and then you have the helmet of salvation, and then your feet is shod with the gospel of peace. These are the 5, what I call the defensive weapon. And then on top of that, you have 2 offensive weapons, which is the word of God, which is like a sword of the spirit. And then also the 7th item is what I call prayer. And prayer is very powerful. So let me just give you an illustration of, you know, how you put on the armor of God. As I say, as you spend your time in devotion, you're putting on Christ. And you can be hidden in Christ Jesus. And the devil at times, you know, may attack you with lies and deception. Because Christ, you're clothed in Christ, Christ is the truth. Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but except through me. And Jesus is the word, and his word is truth. And therefore, knowing the word of God, you will be able to, you know, expose the lies and the deceptions of the enemy. Then what about another area? At times, you know, the enemy will attack your heart because they'll try to condemn your heart. You know, will attack your emotional feeling. And this is the time that you can put on the breastplate of righteousness. And perhaps because of some, you know, fault that you committed, because of some failure that you have, he will come and try to condemn you. And you can have this breastplate of righteousness, because you can go to the Jesus and to repent and confess of your sin. And he says that, you know, Jesus, you know, is more than able and is willing to forgive your sin. He's faithful and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And therefore, Jesus is your righteousness. He becomes your breastplate of righteousness. And at times, you know, the enemy will try to attack your mind. You know, that's bombarded into the mind. And you can put on the helmet of salvation, because Jesus is your helmet of salvation. And so on and so forth. Brothers and sisters, and sometimes he attacks your peace. The peace in here is being ruffled. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And therefore, Jesus, you're clothed with Jesus, you have a good defensive, you know, armor against the enemy of your soul. And then, brothers and sisters, not only that, you can attack the enemy. And not only you can be defensive, you can attack the enemy with the word of God. Because the word of God is the sword of the spirit. And then another offensive weapon is your prayer. And each time when you pray, you are sending artillery, missiles, bombardment into the enemy's camp from afar. So brothers and sisters, you begin to see that the word is life-giving. And it is also a protective and offensive power in the word and in prayer. Now our problem is this. Our problem is not the lack of resources, because God has already given us these resources. It is the lack of discipline to feed ourselves regularly with God's word and in prayer. So the word and prayer life will energize and they will impart into you an overcoming spirit to overcome any evil oppression or the demonic attack that you may encounter. So these are the two areas that we need to be mindful of. What about the third area? The third area, I would say, you need to renew your life. Now, an eagle has a lifespan of about 30 to 50 years. And after a period of time, the eagle begins to lose its strength and to its vitality. Due to the wear and tear, the quality of the feathers deteriorate. And some feathers begin to stick to the body and grow weak. And over a prolonged period of time, some calcium deposit accumulates on the eagle's talons and beak, making him ineffective for hunting his prey. Now, it cannot take him as far as he wants to go. And therefore, the eagle has got two choices to make, to retire and die, or to renew himself with new strength. And if he wants to renew himself and refire with a new lease of life and vitality, he needs to go through a period of waiting and renewal. And he goes and perch on a mountain cleft to hibernate. And people may think that he's going to die and he's going to retire and die. But no, the eagle is going through refinement, not retirement. And during this waiting period, he begins to shed all the old sets of feathers and the new sets of feathers begin to sprout. And the eagle also begins to beat the, what they call the calcium deposit off the beaks and also the talons, and then to remove any impediments. And this is a very painful process. And however, it must be done if he wants to renew his life. And the whole process will take about 150 days. And at the end of the process, the eagle has a new set of feathers. He's a sharpened beak and a strong talons. And it will give him a new lease of life and vitality. Strength and vitality are being rejuvenated in the eagles. And then after that, the eagles leap up off the rock. And then he mounts with its wing. And he begins to soar and glide in the heavenly. And he can run and not be weary. This is where we get Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. Talking about eagles renewing their strength. And when their strength is renewed, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they not faint. So brothers and sisters, there are also other things that you need to consider to extend or to maintain the stamina and longevity in your life. You know, life is designed with a cycle, with a rhythm. And not life is not meant to be go, 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 bang, bang, bang all the time. And you going at a prolonged fast pace is unsustainable. And that's why God instituted Sabbath, one day of rest in a week. And then there's time to do, and there's time to wait. There's time for action, and there's time to rest. Time to give, and time to receive. So time to expend your energy, and also time to rest and to refill your tank. So you don't overstretch yourself. You need to pace yourself, and you cannot do too much with too little rest in the Lord. And you cannot overexpend your energy with little in or refilling. If you overstretch over a prolonged period, eventually you are going to run on an empty tank and you are going to burn out. So be careful that you do not overstretch yourself. Neither can you be idle. You know, neither can you just rest all the time and do nothing. You cannot just kind of receive and not give out. Otherwise, you can become obese and you become overweight and you become sluggish. And therefore, you will always need to spend quality and waiting time with the Lord. You need to be still before Him. Now, sometimes when you are be still, we come to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes you have nothing to say. That is fine. You just close your eyes, just focus up on the Lord. And you just look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And when you spend the quiet moments with Him, even without words, God is going to clothe you. Going to clothe you with His anointing. God is going to infuse His life and spirit into you. So brothers and sisters, as I said, prayer is not, unidirectional. Prayer is a two-way thing. Even when you're in silence. In fact, when you're in silence, God can speak to you more. So that you can listen, what is His instruction for the day, so on and so forth. So brothers and sisters, you need to commune with Him so that He can renew your life. He can renew your vigor. He can renew your vitality. So brothers and sisters, in conclusion, we all live in an urban society and it's very hectic and it's very busy. And there's just too many demands that require our care and attention. And in the process of prolonged and stressful laboring, we can become what I call flustered. And after going through the prolonged cares of life, whether in the workplace, in the school, in the family, over a period of time, often we feel drained emotionally, in our energy, and in our spirit. And we do not manage it well, you know, we may get burned out. We may slip into depression or the likes of it. And remember, to be an eager Christian, we need to be mindful of three things. We are meant to be an eager Christian, not chicken Christian. And therefore, we must change our mindset. This is very important. No, we must not be afraid of the storms of life. And then we can overcome. We have this mindset that we can overcome, you know, the storms of life. Well, other birds may be, the chicken may be running and hiding away from problems. But eager Christian will confront the storm and use it to rise and to grow in the Lord. Now, an eager Christian know his authority in the Word of God. And when the storm comes, he faces them boldly in prayer. And chicken Christians are afraid of problems. They run from difficulties, and as a result, their wings are not developed. They are underdeveloped and they cannot fly. So that is point number one. Now, very, very important. As I said, you must change your mindset. Just give you a simple story. I have three children. I will not reveal the name. One of my children, you know, worked and undergoing severe stress during the year. And on two or three occasions, you know, he nearly wanted to resign. And so we begin to pray with one of our children. And thank God, through prayer, covering of the prayer, through encouragement, as a result, you know, this person did not resign. And then now, as you look back, it says that how I make it through the year. I finished 2014. After all, those problems are not as bad as I thought. So brothers and sisters, you know, you can overcome. You must change this mindset. You can overcome. Very important. This is number one key. 50% of the battle is won if you change your mindset that you can overcome. The second thing is the importance of a balanced and a healthy diet. Very important. Simple things, important thing. Not only for your body, physical body, but for your soul and for your spirit. No junk food, no dirty food for your body, soul and spirit. We must respect God's design pertaining to the intake of the food for our body, soul and spirit. And last and not least, there is a time and there is a season to renew ourselves in the Lord through waiting. And like eagles, we must self-examine ourselves to see areas that impede our growth. We need to go to the Lord in repentance to shed off the sin and the bad habits that inhibit us from our effectiveness. So when we take heed of these things, brothers and sisters, we can have the stamina. We can have the longevity in whatever we do. We will run and not be weary. And we will walk and we will not faint. So I trust that this message, you know, has encouraged you, has blessed you. And that now that you are rejuvenated and that you will apply what you have heard and what you have learned in your daily life. May Lord bless you with longevity and stamina in Him. So I get the musicians to come forward. Now we're going to close with a song. For those who are weary, for those who are tired, you need that second wind of the Holy Spirit. You need that dosage of empowerment from the Lord to face the years ahead of you. You can come forward to the altar here. We're going to anoint you with oil. And then I just trust that the Lord is going to infuse you with His life and with His spirit so that you can be victorious in 2015 and the years ahead of you, so that you can finish well and that you can finish strong. Bless you, brothers and sisters. Are we ready for the last and closing song? Let us stand.